go back to your parents? All right, I'll make you one promise if everybody's respectful and everybody listens, all right? I promise I will not speak as long as Mr. Andy does, all right? Everybody on board with that? All right, let's give them one more round of applause. Everybody go sit with your parents, okay? Good job, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Amen, everybody. Yeah. All right, last week we started off our Generation Next sermon series, and we started off talking about a story that's familiar to most of us that have grown up in church, and a lot of us, even if you didn't grow up in church, and that was the story, 1 Samuel 17, of David and Goliath. And it's a story full of faith, God's faithfulness and David's faithfulness. And we stepped through, we kind of did a brief overview of the book of 1 Samuel. And we talked about how the generation before the person that came next was set up by the previous generation. So it started at the very, very beginning of the book of 1 Samuel with Hannah. And Hannah was suffering from infertility, and she wanted nothing more than to have a son. And God blessed her with that son, and his name was Samuel. So Samuel was committed to the ministry by Hannah right away, as soon as he was born. And he grew up in faith, and he grew in maturity, and he grew up with leaders developing his faith. And he grew up to be a high priest of Israel. And eventually, God anointed David through Samuel. So Samuel accepted God's word to anoint David, the most unlikely person of Generation Next, to be king. But there was still a king at this point. So, and that king was Saul. So David had a choice to make right away. What do I do here? What do I do in the waiting? And what he chose to do in the waiting was serve King Saul. And we talked about how important that was to that story and how important that is to David's development, to be able to serve the person that came before you, even when you've already been anointed leadership. So all of that story culminated with this epic battle, this David versus Goliath battle, the ultimate story of faith, the ultimate story of courage. And I know all you kids went through this story last week. Miss Jenny and Mr. Josh did a good job of teaching all that story, and it's all about faith. But it also represents the emergence of Generation Next, and David was a representation of that. So don't miss this, kids. Kids, listen up to me. David was just a boy when he fought the giant Goliath. He was just a kid. He's 13 years old. So he's barely older than most of you all in our kids' ministry. And he, even though he was a kid, he lived out this bold faith, this fresh, this strong faith in God. And he was able to win this battle. He won this epic battle. So I want to tell you, because of that story, this story speaks directly to you. You can go anywhere that God leads you. You can do anything that God leads you to do. But there's a big if. That's if you have the faith, the bold faith like David had. You can do anything that God wants you to do. Anything, go anywhere that God leads you. So don't miss the generational themes that run all throughout the story of David and Goliath, this story that we've all heard hundreds of times. Every step along the way, the previous generation was setting up Generation Next all the way to the battle of David versus Goliath. And even when Saul gave David his blessing to fight Goliath, Saul kind of kicked back on him, and finally he relented and said, "You have my blessing in the name of the Lord. Go fight the giant." All right, so that's what we talked about Sunday and that kind of last Sunday, and that sets up where we're going today. I want to fast forward from where we left off there and look at the end of David's reign as king and see what he did, since he was set up so well as Generation Next when he was a young kid, to see what he did to set up the generation that came behind him. So when we pick up the story, David was at the end of his reign here as king. He's also at the end of his life. All right, his life was very interesting. He lived a very full life, a very faith-filled life. And because he was such a strong, faithful person, and because the previous generation set him up too, we'll see how he sets up the next generation. And I want to look at that today. We can learn a lot from it. We can directly apply these lessons to so many things. We can apply it to our parenting. We can apply it to our personal lives. And we can apply it to our ministry right here at LifePoint Church. So we pick up that story in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And here we see the first way, we're going to go through a few ways, the first way that David set up generation next, and that was through preparation. He helped prepare the next generation. 1 Chronicles 22 is all about preparation, preparing things so that the next generation can not only just live and survive, but succeed. All right, David was old at this time. He was getting old, and he knew his life was coming to an end. He knew his reign was coming to an end. And he's been tasked by God. God gives him the task of building this temple, building a new temple. And David takes this instruction very seriously, and he goes all in for several reasons. But the main reason that he went all in was to prepare the way for the next generation, the new king, who is Solomon, who happens to be David's son. So we're going to pick up this story in verse 5 of 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Verse 5, David said, "My son Solomon is still young and inexperienced, and since the temple to be built for the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world, I will begin making preparations for it now." So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. Skipping down to verse 11, "Now, my son, may the Lord be with you and give you success as you follow his directions in building the temple of the Lord your God. And may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding that you may obey the law of the Lord your God as you rule over Israel. For you will be successful if you carefully obey the decrees and regulations that the Lord gave to Israel through Moses. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or lose heart." So we see David here doing exactly what we just said, preparing Solomon, preparing his son. But not only did he prepare Solomon, he took the time to set him up for success too. He gathered supplies for Solomon. David set him on the right course, gave him good advice, good solid advice, and gave him the vision that God was given directly to David. He passed that on to Solomon. And while he does that, he speaks life into him, right? He speaks wisdom. He speaks understanding. He speaks obedience, strength, and courage, all this going into generation next. Question time. How would generation next, how different would it look right now if all of us collectively spent more time speaking life into that generation? Speaking the things that David spoke into them, wisdom, understanding, obedience, strength, and courage. If we spent more time speaking life into them in a strong, God-given course of direction, if we gave them that, what's this generation look like? So we see at the end of chapter 22 that David does something else that's key as he prepares Solomon. He recruits capable people to surround Solomon with. He recruits people that he trusts, David trusts, to set up around Solomon. And he recruits people that he knows is going to do the right thing for Solomon, not only Solomon, but also the nation of Israel. Starting with verse 17 again. "Then David ordered all the leaders in Israel to assist Solomon in this project. The Lord your God is with you," he declared. "Now seek the Lord with all your heart and soul." Preparing generation next is not a job that can be done alone. If anybody thinks it can be done alone, let me know, because I'm obviously doing it wrong, right? We're all familiar with the term, "it takes a village." It does take a village. That is so true. It takes a village to raise this generation. There will be other voices, other influences, other people that are going to influence your kids, influence our kids. Some of those voices of influence are determined by you. You can choose those voices that are around your kids, most of them. Now, you can't choose all of them, but you can choose a lot of them, just like David did for Solomon. You determine the voices that surround generation next. So, participation time, I need you on this one. If you commit to being a strong, positive voice of preparation for generation next here at LifePoint Church, just right where you're at, say, "I'm in." Let's try it again. If you commit to being a strong, positive voice for Generation Next and preparing the way for them, say I'm in.
Amen.
Amen. Next step that we see is first in 1 Chronicles 28, and it's instruction. 1 Chronicles 28 is all about instruction. Instructing Generation Next to push the mission forward. You'll see in this chapter David's humility and faithfulness on full display. A man in David's position could have been arrogant. He could have been filled with pride. He could have been faithful to only himself. But he still knew that God was the giver of all his accomplishments. David lived a full life. David lived a life that most of us can only dream of. And he could have chosen to live with pride, but he chose to live with humility and faithfulness to God. So listen as he passes this faithfulness on to Generation Next. This chapter starts with David gathering all the officials of Israel. So we've got tribe leaders, generals, army commanders, brave warriors. And he gathers them for the purpose of instruction, instructing them on the vision that God's given him to build this temple. And he gives them this vision, stepping them through how God led him to being the king of Israel. So he steps them back through that. And now how God has chosen Solomon to lead, David's son. He steps them through that here. We're going to start in verse 8. You can follow along on the screen here. So now, with God as our witness, and in the sight of all Israel, the Lord's assembly, I give you this charge. Be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may continue to possess this good land and leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. After David gives the assembly instructions, he then directly addresses his son, Solomon, because he knows from experience that a group like this is only as good as its leader. So he turns his attention to Solomon, carrying on with verse 9. And Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord seeks every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So take this seriously. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. David could have taken his time, this time right here, to instruct Solomon on anything that he chose to. He could have talked to him about the perils of leading people. He could have talked to him about individuals that surrounded him. He could have talked to him about anything that he wanted. But he took this moment right here with everyone assembled to talk to Solomon and instruct him on his personal relationship with God. That's how important this was to David. That's how important it was passing this on to Generation Next. So kids, Generation Next, did you all get that? Did you hear that? Are you listening to this? So Solomon learned to know the God of your ancestors intimately. The word intimately. Know your ancestors' God closely. He's not talking about service level Christianity or just using God when you're in trouble or using God when you need him, but an all-in Christianity, a full-out all-in Christianity. Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Kids, learn to know your God closely. That's the most powerful instruction you can ever be given. Learn to know your God closely. You're never too young to know God closely. You're never too young to develop your relationship with God. Worship him and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. Seek him, mind him, and just like David does here, with passing it on to Solomon, take the task that God gives you seriously. You can live a good, full life, but that starts in direct relationship with God. If you learn nothing else here, learn that. Learn it at a young age. A good, full life starts with a relationship with God. So everybody that's here, when we align our kids' ministry to look like that, where our parents and leaders are instructing kids together and kids are living with close intimacy with God, imagine the possibilities for this church. Imagine LifePoint Church and what it looks like. And imagine the possibilities for Generation Next, a generation that people have already written off. What's the possibilities when all of our kids live in close intimacy with God? So kids, it's up to you to develop that relationship with God. Nobody else can do that for you. We're here to help you. We're here to mentor you, and we will help you in any way that we can. But it's up to you. You all have to make that choice. So David goes on in chapter 28 to give them very detailed instructions on building the temple, how to build the interior, where to put the rooms, what the exterior should look like, what supplies to use, how to use the supplies, where to use certain supplies on certain jobs, and how much to do. All the instructions that were given to him by God, David now passes on to them. Restarting with verse 20, you can follow along on the screen. Then David continued, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. The various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God. Others with skills of every kind will volunteer. And the officials and the entire nation are at your command." That's a pretty beautiful way to end chapter 28, isn't it? Everybody working together. Everybody working for one cause. And all skills levels pitching in and helping for one cause. One united purpose. So we have a lot of people here serving one united purpose. Serving Generation Next, ministering to Generation Next, and instructing Generation Next. So we have a lot of people, but what if all of us, everyone in this room today, commits to that cause? What will our kids' ministry look like this time next year? Better yet, here's an even more important question. What do the lives of our kids look like in 10 years if all of us in this room go all in ministering and instructing Generation Next? 10 years from now, 15 years from now, do we see 50% of them walking away from church, or do we see 0% of them walking from church and walking from faith? More importantly, from just walking from church, walking away from faith completely. 15 years ago, 15 years from now, what does that look like? Will we, as a group here, break that 50% curse? I really hope we can. I pray that we can. LifePoint Church needs every adult here to commit to instructing Generation Next. Every single adult here needs to commit to instructing Generation Next, making sure that they grow, making sure they mature in faith. So here's participation time. Don't say it if you don't mean it. This is all in moment. If you commit to instructing Generation Next here at LPC, say right where you're sitting, say I'm in. I'm in too. 1 Corinthians 29 is all about prayer. That leads us into the chapter, the last chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, and it opens in the same place that chapter 28 left off. David is addressing the assembly of leaders, and he gives them more detailed instructions. It's all about the details that God gave him on how to build this temple that David has the vision for. And he goes through a list of supplies again that he personally donated to this cause. He talks about how much he gave up. And then he challenges the leaders to do the same thing, to give to the cause, give money, give their time, give their supplies to this cause. And the leaders respond. They do in a big way. They give huge amounts of supplies. And David leads them in this epic prayer, a beautiful prayer of thanksgiving to God for his provision and his blessings. And that prayer of thanksgiving leads us into David's prayer over Generation Next, starting in verse 18. "Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it that their love for you never changes. Give my son Solomon the wholehearted desire to obey all your commands, laws, and decrees, and to do everything necessary to build this temple for which I have made these preparations." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Give praise to the Lord your God." And the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and knelt before the king. We treat prayer very seriously in our kids' ministry. We treat it with great importance. Every Sunday, our volunteers gather before the service to pray over that service and pray over the kids that are going to walk in. We do it every Sunday at 10:20. And we ask God to show himself to the kids. We ask God to send his Holy Spirit, to send his Spirit, and to move and encourage our kids. I invite anybody that's sitting here, you don't have to be serving on that particular day, anybody that wants to come and pray over Generation Next, 10:20, every single Sunday morning we meet in the kids' lobby, I invite you to do that. We also pray with the kids every single Sunday in our kids' ministry. And it's a very, very important time. We pray every single Sunday with them, no exceptions. In teaching the kids how to pray, we break down prayer into two parts. We do ask God's and thank God's. And we take requests, and the kids are active in it. And it's a great time to learn about where they're at in their faith. We have a prayer wall posted back there for numerous reasons, but that helps show the importance of prayer that's important to us, and it should be important to them too. And also, they can write their requests, their ask gods or their thank gods posted on the wall, and they know that a leader is going to pray for them and for that request that week. And there's assurance in that. That's such an awesome part of our kids' ministry. So prayer time every single Sunday with the kids leads to some great conversations as a group. You could tell so much about where a child is in their faith walk and their spiritual walk by these prayer requests and just hearing them talk about it. So I ask you this question as a parent. Are you praying over your kids? Better yet, are you praying with your kids? There's a difference there. Are you praying with your kids? Prayer is such a big part in connecting with your kids, connecting with our kids, connecting with Generation Next. This must be done at church, and it must be done at home. We need everybody in this church praying over our kids, no exception. We need all the adults praying over our kids without exception. So here's commitment time again. If you commit to praying over our kids regularly, stay right where you're at and say, I'm in. I'm in too. Preparation, instruction, and prayer. Three ways that we can raise Generation Next into faithful, sticky relationships with God. I know that's a weird word, but we use the word sticky because so many people at age 18 and into their 20s walk away from God. We want them to have a sticky relationship with God. Relationships that will stick as they grow older, no matter their age, no matter their location, no matter their situation. Relationship with God that will endure. Kids, just like I started off this service saying, you matter to God, and you will matter to God your entire life, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. Embrace that today. Embrace that at a young age. Embrace that and live it out. You matter to God. What does preparation, instruction, and prayer look like here at LifePoint Church? Let me cut this off for just a minute and say our kids are doing a great job in here today, are they not? Kids, good job listening so far. We're almost done, I promise. What does preparation, instruction, and prayer look like? Preparation. It's a tough world out there for kids today, and I'm not breaking any news here. You all know how it is. So many influences, so much negativity, so many things that can help lead them astray from their relationship with God. We need to prepare them with strong beliefs, beliefs that won't waver when they're tested, because they're going to be tested. Can I get an amen from all the adults? They will be tested. They have to develop a strong faith, strong set of beliefs before they're tested. We need to make sure that they're here regularly. This is a big one. They have to be here regularly. That's up to us as parents. We need to get them here. We need to keep them here. One thing that goes along with that is we need to step outside of our comfort zones and bring their friends with them, even if that takes the commitment of picking their friends up and taking them home on a Sunday morning. We haven't been good enough about that as parents, and I vow to change that, and I hope you're alongside with me on that. We have to step outside of our comfort zones. Generation Next needs us to step outside of our comfort zones. We need to prepare Generation Next with every available resource that we have. Without exception. Instruction. We need to be willing to have tough conversations with our kids. We have tough conversations regularly in our kids' ministry. You need to be willing to do that at home too. It's vital. We're instructed as Christ followers to always be ready to give an account or give a testimony. or to tell why God is in our life and what he has done for us and what he's done through us. So the same goes for when you talk to your kids about faith. Be ready to give an account. Talk to them about salvation, what salvation has meant in your life. Why do you go to church? Talk to them about that. Why is it important for you to raise your kid here? Tell them that. Have that conversation. What are your thoughts on baptism? Better yet, what does the Bible teach about baptism? What does the Bible teach about prayer? Go through that with your kids. You'll learn so much about them. We have to be ready to instruct. We have to be ready with an account. Prayer. We need to cover all aspects of Generation Next in prayer. Prayer for protection spiritually, physically, emotionally. Covering Generation Next in prayer. Pray that they accept God at a young age. We need to do that. We need to pray that prayer more often. Praying that the Generation Next will turn to God at a young age and in a huge way. Pray that God will help you in situations and conversations about faith and salvation. Pray for our kids' friends. Pray that our kids will pick good friends, first of all. It's so important. Pick good, positive friends. Pray that they'll have the courage to invite their friends to church and into faith in God. That's such a big part of the walk. Pray that our kids will develop their own account and that they'll be able to share that with the people around them. John Stumbo, the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, said something so beautiful. He said that every generation must learn to articulate the gospel. Every generation must learn to articulate the gospel. Think about that. What a great place to start praying over Generation Next is praying that they will learn to articulate the gospel. What's the gospel look like to that generation, Generation Next? Learning to articulate that, speak it, live it out, and then pass it on. That's what it's all about. That's what we're trying to do here, instructing. So we're going to end our kids' takeover. We're going to end this Generation Next series right there with prayer, praying over the kids. So I want to invite all the kids back up here. All right, kids, come on up. I'm going to pray over them. I'm going to pray over our kids' ministry. If you're a kids volunteer here, you may come up here if you choose to. We're so appreciative of the volunteers here that serve so faithfully. Can we give them a hand as they come up? And we're going to commit our kids to prayer, all right? In prayer. Just like David did, just like he taught us in 1 Chronicles. It worked out pretty well for David and Solomon, right? And that's what we're going to do here today. All right? Kids, can y'all bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Lord, I am thankful for Generation Next, and I'm thankful that I'm one of the people here at LifePoint Church that get to lead them and minister to them and help them develop and grow and mature. I pray that we all do that in a proper way, in a way that glorifies you. I pray that they accept you at a young age. I pray that this generation can turn to you at a young age and learn to articulate the gospel, learn to articulate the good news, learn to articulate what Jesus did for them, and live that out. Live that out in a relationship with you. It'd be so huge if every one of these kids and the kids in our ministry that aren't here today accept you at a young age and then live that out in this dark world. That'd be huge. And I pray for that today. As we continue in prayer, I'm going to read Psalms 145. I will exalt you, my King, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. Lord, I pray that you will rule generation next here at LifePoint Church. I lift them up to you today. I lift these kids on the stage up to you. I lift our kids' ministry up to you. I lift all the adults that give so willing of their time, so freely of their time and their energy to speak life and encouragement into these kids. I bless them for that. If you're here today and you haven't accepted faith in God, you can do that. Today's your day. I pray that you do that today. You can just ask him into your heart where you're sitting. No big fanfare, but it is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. I hope that you do that today. I hope that if you haven't accepted him, I hope that you don't put that off any longer. That goes for you too, kids, generation next. I pray if you haven't accepted faith in Christ and Jesus that you will do that today. If you want to do that and you don't know how to do that, just grab one of these adults. They're speaking life into you. And pull them to the side after church, and we will step you through that. But it's a beautiful process, and we're here to guide you through that. Lord, I bless the decisions that are being made today. In your name, Lord, I pray for generation next. I pray that we get it right here, that we can raise up a generation of leaders, raise up a generation of Christ followers that are ready to just take on this world and live out bold, strong, fresh faith in your name. And that this group will be a light in the darkness that's so needed in this world. I pray for these kids as they're faced with just unspeakable things, pressure that our generation has put on them. I pray that that's lifted. I pray that that's severed and the chains from that are broken once and for all. And I'll lift that up to you today, Lord, too. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thanks, kids. Y'all go back to your parents, okay?